B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub Headlines. Well, the Bruins came up huge in a must-win game last night, beating Carolina 5-2 at TD Garden. Brad Marchand, Charlie Coyle, Eric Halla, Derek Forbert, and Curtis Lazar all scored goals. And now this playoff series is even at 3 games apiece. Next up for Bruce Cassidy's team is a Game 7 in Raleigh, where his team has not come close in any of the 3 meetings in this series so far.
We got to win now one road game. That's what's in front of us. We knew that when we started the series. You have to win a road game, at least one, if we wanted to advance. So here it is.
The two teams play at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon, and the winner will get either Pittsburgh or the Rangers. The Penguins lead that series 3-2 and have the home ice for Game 6 tonight. Celtics will be in Milwaukee tonight, down 3-2 in that second-round playoff series. Robert Williams is once again questionable. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell have the pregame at 7 and the tip-off at 7:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The winner of this series gets Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Heat eliminated Philadelphia in 6 games last night, 99-90. The NFL announced its regular season schedule last night. Patriots have 5 primetime games, including Thanksgiving night in Minneapolis against the Minnesota Vikings. They begin with a road game against Miami. Patriots Hall of Famer Gino Cappelletti passed away yesterday at the age of 89, and the Red Sox had last night off. They visit the Texas Rangers this evening. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers. Don't buy a tractor. Enjoy the precision cutting that gets the job done in a fraction of the time. Mow like Maz and visit your independent Gravely dealer today. I'm John Wallach of Boston Tone for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 8:30.
This is Patrice Bergeron.
Coming late to Bergeron.
On your home for Bruins hockey, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Playoff season, we're in round one. The Canes are winning 2-0.
Yeah.
The Bruins losing, it's under my skin. So now it's time that we must win.
Yo, what's up, guys?
The Canes are hungry, they want the cup. Let's score some goals and don't give up.
We got our beefs, bro.
Games to come, 3 rounds to go. We're gonna fight, let's give him a show.
Oh.
Brad Marchand, we gotta beat the Hurricanes.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Brad Marchand, we gotta beat the Hurricanes.
I'm the son of the Pope.
Brad Marchand, we gotta beat the Hurricanes.
Rush had an album title called Grace Under Pressure.
Brad Marchand, we gotta beat the Hurricanes.
It's gonna be hot.
Rush had an album called Grace Under Pressure.
He was so happy with himself in that clip, too, and he looked at the camera like, ugh.
See, I recall him just looking confused, like... What Rush title would be the best to say right now?
And that was the moment before their postseason was ruined. That was from the Hard Knocks they had. It was really
yeah.
a great scene.
Well, yeah, it was the play that cost them the playoffs.
And that was like they had a chance to clinch it the week before, and they lost to Jacksonville. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a kick in the balls.
That was. But that, of course, is the soothing voice of Mike Behind the Mike Callahan, who really is the reason that the Bruins are right now tied in the series.
Yeah.
He wrote that song and gave it to us after they were down 0-2, and we said the entire time, you know, there's no way they can come back from this. But who would have thought? Mike Behind the Mike rallied the troops, and we said, listen, if for some strange reason they are either tied or if they have won this series by the time the Wilbur Show happens on Friday, which is today, then Mike Behind the Mike Callahan will perform at the show. Fred thought there was no way that would happen, so he agreed to it, and look at it now. You have a tied, for some reason, home ice means everything in this thing, and tonight the people at the Wilbur will be granted the grace and presence of Mr. Mike Behind the Mike on stage.
Yeah, and I put last night on Twitter, as soon as they went up 3-1, effing Mike Behind the Mike in my hands. And then, so if you're there at the Wilbur tonight, if you're one of the people that's going to be there, the the part of it that doesn't seem to quite fit. Will be the...
That's where Mike was a late ad.
Fred's right. It was like, you know, we kind of set everything up to where kind of everything rolled into the next, but then we're just like, all right, well, let's just throw this right in the middle of it.
I told you, I'm like, good luck finding a spot for it, but...
The crowd will.
I realize what the crowd's going to but there's a certain rhythm and things, and Mike's not a fan of getting off stage. So, I mean...
So, we need someone to say, okay, Mike, your
like
time
Sandman?
Is done.
No, no. See, no, Mike, listen.
I'll take that responsibility.
Thanks, Mike. Welcome. Thanks for coming here.
If anything, he's a pro. All right? So, last night, things were solidified after, of course, the win. There were some emails back and forth. Mike behind the mic, a pro's pro. He is ready.
He knows.
He's polished. John, don't you worry about a thing.
Okay.
Don't you worry about nothing.
So, but it is a mystery. Aside from that song, tell me he's okay. How long is he going to be on stage?
That is, as I said, I know what's going to happen, and I know you, Fred, you will enjoy it.
Okay. I mean, there's so much going on that you'd think I'd be a little nervous because there's a lot going on I don't know about.
There's not a ton.
Well,
I mean,
the whole, you know,
you don't know
improvising
clips.
Over the clips.
Sure, yes, but that's what
but that's what I do in the end.
That's right. That's what makes you great. You are
That's what makes me so great.
It's what makes you elite, Fred.
That's right.
You're improvised player of the year.
Yeah, that's right. That's what makes me such a star. So anyway, I will say this is that now we can all quiet down about Hampus Lindholm.
He was great.
Because I believe, and I was surprised he wasn't one of the three stars of the game, but then again, he didn't put up any points. But I can certainly tell you, and then I went and saw the play when there was a turnover and there was a 2-on-1 going down the other end. Surratt sounded like, oh, Jesus. It was nothing. And it sounded like, all right, here we go. Carolina's going to get up by one. And Lindholm made a fantastic play behind the play. And then he duplicated it again. And that led to a goal by McAvoy. So, I don't know why home ice matters here. I don't know. It's certainly not the crowd. So we can stop that. But I don't know what goes on in Raleigh.
It doesn't seem like a coincidence because it's multiple goal wins.
It's dominant wins. It matters in this series. It shouldn't. If you talk to anyone who's covered hockey, like home ice, this is the sport where it really doesn't matter. The officiating can get fishy. And I've told you this. Sports Illustrated did a thing years ago where they said, does home advantage really matter? And they couldn't find anywhere it mattered except for it might sway officiating in some ways.
Yeah.
They were more likely to support the home team, which I guess is just as much as you try, it's human nature. You don't want to get booed.
Yeah.
You'd much rather get cheered.
Sure.
And so maybe if something's 50-50, your brain, in a way you don't even, subconsciously just goes like, you know, for instance, in that terrible penalty when in the Domi scrum that they gave to the Bruins.
Right.
Maybe that was just the guy's desire not to get booed.
And those don't make sense, obviously, when two people are doing it and then just one.
It was a bad call. And again, if it was a closer game, I would be much more pissed off about it. But, I mean, they were going to lose regardless of what happened there. The play of Lindholm it excited me. If him and McAvoy are Forbort's played very well too.
Yes.
But if him and McAvoy can play like that, you got a chance here. You got a chance. You need one win. I was very impressed by him. Very impressed by him.
He's
last
such
night.
A calming influence when he's out there.
Yeah, he's not a bruiser. He's not a guy that's but.
And it allows McAvoy to concentrate on other things other than backing everybody up.
Yes.
It allows him to step into the offensive end. It allows him to be more physical, like you saw at the end of that 2-on-1 that Lindholm broke up.
And by the way, when you get a lead, then the fourth line became effective, too, in that game.
Yeah.
Is that the fourth line became effective. They were rewarded at the end of the game with empty net.
Goes back to the original thought for this Game 7 coming up tomorrow afternoon. The first goal means everything.
Unfortunately, you are right.
Carolina gets the first goal. They're off and running, and the Bruins will not catch them.
I'll tell you this. If the Bruins come out hot and pepper the goal, and don't score,
yeah,
I'm out. I'm out on the. I'm not sitting there watching them do that. If they can't get anything past the goaltender, if they dominate for 5 minutes, because then you know what's going to happen. Then something's going to happen on the other end of the ice, and then everything changes and everything shifts. And they were playing so well last night. I was very confident when it was 2-1. I was very, very confident at that point.
Like you said,
enough to curse Mike behind the mic.
As you said, they got it to one game. And in one game situations, weird stuff happens. Strange things occur.
Which is
pressure takes over. And the Bruins have, if nothing else, the experience advantage in this particular game.
Right.
And it's weird, too, that Lindholm went from 0 to 60, because he went from not playing and he had more time on ice than anybody last night.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, for good reason, because Cassidy saw what he was doing. He's like, I'm not taking this kid out. So the play of Lindholm excites me. The idea that the Bruins are the veteran team and have been here before. In fact, if you look at Bergeron's statistics in game sevens, he's very, very good. See line one?
No, I'm not. I don't want to take that.
I didn't like that guy.
No, I don't either. That's one guy I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, he can come, but I don't want him around me.
There's a kid.
We got too wild with characters one time.
I don't even want to talk about him.
And these listeners brought in a guy that did not like me.
No, he was staring at Fred and wanted to kill him
the
entire time.
He wanted to kill me.
For no reason. Just like
for no reason, because I didn't know who he was.
I just think he was feral.
He lives in the woods. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify with the home ice advantage to see if you guys are aware about the line changes and the advantage with that. And
oh, last change. Don't insult me.
Wow. Well, that explains the 3-goal wins that the other team has.
It's only that reason.
How did
we miss that? We've been doing this since 2009. I mean, you can think we're dumb, but I mean, there's a certain point.
Maybe you weren't aware of it. Maybe you weren't aware that the home team gets last change.
So you're telling me last change has been the difference in those games in Carolina?
Obviously. Ernie Adams, what do you think? Thank you, Ernie.
It's going to be hot.
Yeah. Carolina in the spring.
I mean, there's a certain thing that's insulting. Oh, they get last. There's a thing with line changes. Oh.
Maybe you guys weren't aware.
Oh, that's
gonna,
right.
That's going to be whatever a caller makes a great point. Just the show killer sound effect. Just kills the show.
It's just like, I know you think we're dumb. But, like, you know, you have to, by osmosis, pick up something. Yeah. Doing this 5 days a week for 13 years. I mean, we have to be so phenomenally dumb. But home ice usually doesn't matter in the NHL playoffs. It just doesn't. And if they can't maneuver last change and get around that, it's certainly an advantage. But I've seen the Bruins lose games that have a 3-0 lead in the series, and last changes or not, crap themselves and lose 4 in a row. So, no, last change is not the problem. And P and Pete's not the problem.
Stop.
Well, what's he going to do? I'm the one he wanted to kill.
I was wondering if you were actually going to bring that up. All right.
No. All right. For the audience, I'll tell a story. So we back way long ago, probably BCN. It was probably BCN.
There was a guy who, I remember, this is not something we solicited. This was somebody said, you know, there's this guy who's an interesting guy they called in and said, there's this interesting guy who lives in our neighborhood.
Okay. So at the time we had Gunner, who was a superstar. We had,
the Harvard Square hippie puppeteer was
who I think I might have found.
We did the contest. It was the most interesting person in Boston.
Yeah. And so this was a whole thing that we did where we found a lot of characters.
Yeah, which, you know, like, you know, this gentleman. Who,
well.
The Harvard Square hippie puppeteer.
And I really think creepy. I have found videos of him without that mask on.
Oh, yeah, where he's talking into the microphone.
Are you happy with 84 cents on the dollar?
And he's got, like, a big beard.
84 cents on the dollar is a good deal. I'd love to go to that.
But anyway... These two very nice guys brought in this guy named P&P, and who lives in the woods. And P&P, it was called P&P because he pees himself. And he came to one of our events, and he just looked at me, and he might have made a move at me.
Yeah, he just. Yeah, we were interviewing the Funky Bunch, I believe.
Yes, I believe we were.
And I think P&P, the Funky Bunch was in
and
the crowd.
P&P was staring daggers at me.
Yeah, and it was a live appearance. Someone brought him. I'm like, all right, so this is the guy, and then he just like looked like he wanted to kill you. Like,
yeah.
All right, well, that's not a good thing.
No, he didn't. Yeah, so I thank you. Your heart was in the right place, but I don't need to see P&P again. All right, we'll be back. Cedric Maxwell going to join us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're waking up. Austin sports fans.
It really feels like a big-time radio show.
Torture and Rich.
Are you listening out there?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is the best game of Al Horford's life.
But here's the thing, Sean, that I love, and you've seen this many times on TV. When they talked to the Big Hurt, he said, you got to get this product. Al Horford must have got that product. And they always say, hey, and she'll like it too. Al got that product.
It's funny because I make fun of that company because I'm like, there's no way like your boner pill works if it's not prescription. And I've gotten three people email me about what to do with my erectile dysfunction.
People care deeply about you, Fred.
The one thing I don't have, I have two things I don't have. I'm not pee shy, which is amazing because of my anxiety. Mm-hmm. And B, I do not need pills to get an erection. So I have those two things going for me. Everything else is not great.
I just didn't realize listening to the Celtics game that there would be a Frank Thomas erection pill reference by our own Cedric Maxwell.
Cedric watches TV when we're watching TV. Cedric Maxwell is the color analyst for the Boston Celtics and 98.5, the sports hub, the Celtics Radio Network, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Thank you so much, Cedric. We appreciate it.
All right, gentlemen. Doing fine. You know, waiting for this game today. Excited.
Yeah. So, historically, this is not a great place to be if you're the Celtics, just based on how these things have gone before. Do you buy anything into that, or is every series different?
Every series is different. I mean, I've played in the series where I was in the series a couple of times where you couldn't come back when you were down 3-1 and won a series like that. Against a great Philadelphia team. Yeah, it was eons ago before everybody says that, but still it was basketball. So I think the Celtics have played well, but they've just kind of shot themselves in the foot a couple of times, and this series really should be over already for the Celtics.
Now, what did you see in that fourth quarter? Because there's a lot leading up to the turnovers and the missed rebound at the end, like all the things that happened in the last like minute and a half, you could see it coming. You know, it was, as I said, it was like a horror villain creeping up on somebody. What was going on in your mind with the Celtics up to that point that led to the malaise and the, I guess, lack of focus?
I think one of the things that happens sometimes, and they said this on many times, when you see teams playing and they have a lead, well, what you do, you stop playing the game in an efficient way, and you stop playing to win. You stop being aggressive. You just play like passive. And I think the Celtics were passive in that last minute or so, and just didn't get anything going. I talked to a couple of players, and you know, they felt like they should have won. But at the end of the day, you know, when you play these games, the thing that killed them, though, was offensive rebounds. You can't give up 17 offensive rebounds in a big-time game and expect to win. And that's what happened. Bobby Portis was huge coming off the bench for Milwaukee and really hurt the Celtics.
Max, we make a big deal about how hard it is to shake off a loss like that. Is it really that hard if you're a player? Are we making too much of that?
Easiest thing in the world, and I've thought about this. This is the easiest game to coach if you're EMA. Because you say, damn it, just get out and play. You know, everybody, here's the big thing I love about this game right now, if I was a player. I know every talk show in Boston has already written me off. I know every sports person has already said the Celtics aren't going to win this game. Every person who is, you know, gets on Adam Jones has already said that, you know, we've already...
Your buddy!
Yeah, we've already bit the cat in the ass already. So, you know, you don't worry about that kind of thing. And that's what makes it so, you know, hey, just get out and play. And Bill Fitch said it best, gave us the best speech ever when we were down 3-1 to Philadelphia. He said, gentlemen, guys, you know what? You got nothing to lose now. Everybody's counting you out. Just get out and play and relax. And that's the same thing the Celtics have to do. Just get out and relax and play. And they seem to be on the plane coming out here, very relaxed, very focused. I saw Jason Tatum in the lobby. He was shooting pool. And it was just, you know, they seem to be. They're young enough right now, I think, in my mind, to feel like, you know, there's no danger. All of us have kids. And when you see have a kid and say, hey, don't put your hand on that frying pan because it's hot. Be like, hey, wait a minute, hold, and they put their hand on it. You'd be like, man, didn't I just tell you? And sometimes they just don't know danger. I think this tells Celtic team, a lot of them, don't know danger and, you know, have gotten themselves in it. And if it went for Al Horford, man, this has been crazy.
It's funny, too, because, you know, you're watching that game, and I know this is, you know, such a flawed logic, but I kept thinking, if Robert Williams is in this game, obviously they get that rebound that, you know, was the putback at the end of the game that was so important. There's, I mean, what was it, 17-5 on the offensive glass that they ended up, like, you know, it was just awful. Do you think, yeah, because you said it was the rebounds that killed him, how yeah tough is it going to be to win without him if he doesn't play, and how important is it? Is it being understated how important he has been to this team?
Well, I mean, in the short term, I think that, and you say the same thing about Milwaukee. You know, everybody says, well, you know, how are you going to beat, how can Milwaukee beat the Celtics right now with no Chris Middleton? Sometimes in the short term, you know, when you play a game, you can win without a star. It's the long-term effect. And it seems like the long-term effect is starting to hit the Celtics after playing a couple of games without Robert Williams. They're just going to have to buckle down, man, and rebound and box out. And I saw many times where they didn't box out or a mistake happened late in that basketball game, and it just cost them. And it was just so unfortunate because this is so far this has been a great series. And if you're a basketball fan, you know, just a basketball fan, you have to love it. If you're a Celtic fan right now, you're throwing up in the back of your throat. So, you know, that essentially that's how it is.
It's way more physical than I thought it was going to be. I mean, obviously, you knew that with the size of some of these guys, but I mean, I don't want to call it a throwback because it's an insult to you and the era that you played in, but it sure seems closer to the physicality of your era than some of the stuff that we've seen as of late in the NBA.
It does. In that term of the Celtics playing and guys getting knocked over, you see three or four guys on the floor, you know, on two or three different plays. Yeah, that does seem to be the case. I mean, and exhaustion coming into play, you think of, you know, Marcus Smart and Giannis getting tied up, I think in game five, I think it was game four. Yeah, game four here in Milwaukee. And Giannis was so tired that, you know, he did the old man thing where, you know, if you're playing in a league and all of older guys are playing with young guys, and the young guy's going to run down to the other end of the floor. You grab him and hold him and try to use him as a bike so you can get to the other end. Giannis was that tired in that game. So the physicality of this thing has surprised me. But the thing I don't like is the fact that every single physical play can't be, I need to go look at the video. Oh my God, he had a toenail that somebody stepped on. Oh my God, look at that guy. He bruised the ovary. You gotta call it, you know, we need to go call right now, New Jersey. Now, let's let's get beyond that. And you know, some of this is just physical. This is just good basketball.
Can you tell, if you're at these games, can you just, I love this team, and I've said, to me, it's the only, like obvious flaw. Like, the one thing that you look at and you go, this is so easily changeable. Can you just go down and tell Tatum and Grant Williams to stop bitching about every non-foul that you believe was called, because it is killing them on the fast break. I mean, you can't...
Tell them the stat.
Oh, yeah. So there was a guy who, I forget who he works for, Keith Smith. He writes for the NBA. He writes about the NBA. He went through and watched the last game, and he said that he found four plays in which it was either Tatum or Grant Williams, and there was one other player that he included in there too, who missed out on the fast break and a three-point shot by the Milwaukee Bucks because they were complaining to the refs. That is something that can so easily be fixable, but for some reason, they can't stop bitching about the refs.
Well, it's strange you say that. You look at it, for the most part, I think they've grown a little bit by that. But then they have a tendency, sometimes they fall back into stuff.
Yep.
And I remember one play you're talking about in particular. I think Grant was involved in it.
Yep.
And he either got fouled or thought he got fouled. Something happened. He complained to the ref. The play went down to the other end, and the Bucks got a three-point play. Immediately, Ime called a timeout and ran up and chewed his ass off.
Yep.
So that, to me, is more about the coach, not the culture, but the coach telling the players what to do at certain times, stop bitching. And I think they've I think Tatum used to complain about every single shot. Now it's maybe every other shot.
Okay, good. He's growing is what you're saying.
That's good.
But I think that he has kind of grown by part of that, where even if you get hit a little bit, you're not always going to get those calls, especially in the playoffs.
So, Max, obviously, you do the radio broadcasts. You've done the post-game show. I've done post-game shows with you. But usually,
you prefer doing it with Wallach,
that's when your night is over. So I was very surprised to turn on the radio and see you sitting in with Adam Jones after the game four. Of course, the Celtics had won, and you were very happy to, more than happy to sit in with Jones, who is the bringer of doom. How did that happen exactly?
I think he's the harbinger of doom. Actually, I was... I did the game at that time, after I had COVID, I did the game, at the studio, and Sean was actually here in, Milwaukee, and Adam Jones was coming on. The guy was like, oh, you want to come on? And as I said, of course I want to talk to Adam Jones. So I was able to get on with him, and, he made a statement that was so outlandish that I still kind of cringe and laugh at the same time. And we were talking about it, and I asked him, I said, well, Adam, would you be a lot happier right now if the Celtics lost? He's like, yeah, I would.
We've all known that for a while.
He's a homer.
Yeah, bigger Brooklyn Net fan than that guy. Yeah.
Absolutely, but you don't say it out loud, John. You just don't say it out loud. That's not the kind of thing you say. You're like, damn, did I really say that out loud on a Boston radio show? So. That was kind of funny. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed being on with him. The banter that we went, you know, back and forth. And it's just like, some people are hard pressed to give, the Celtics credit. And he might be at the damn top of the list. And I love him for it.
Well, we had a bet because we knew that you came in for a few extra minutes to talk to him. And at first, you know, we were thinking, oh, it's probably because, you know, Cedric wanted to, you know, kind of put it in his face a little bit. And Fred made the best point. He said, no, I think that Cedric was probably waiting for his Uber.
No, I really wasn't. Wanted to put it in his face. My car was right outside. So,
okay. Okay.
No, I wasn't that the range where I said, wait, let me call my Uber and see what time it's going to get here. No, my car was already there. It was actually just to go in and do something a little different. You know, when you do talk radio, and I've done so many shows that I think is funny. Like, you know, one of the things I got was one of my all-time favorites. I think in the last week or so, my good buddy down in Charlotte, Kyle Bailey, called me and said, you tell that damn guy up in Boston, if he ever says something about my wife, I'm kicking his ass again. Like, what are you talking about?
You know that guy?
What are you talking about? Yeah, I do talk radio in Charlotte.
Oh, he called. All right, so do you know the story behind that?
But I absolutely know the story. I heard that you guys were kind of making fun of somebody in Raleigh.
Yeah.
You know, was talking about hockey, and some gentleman that we're listening to right now said, I don't want to hear some Southerner telling me about damn hockey, and hung up. And I guess it got into the area, and that was Raleigh. And how it got to Charlotte, I have no idea, because Charlotte radio doesn't even like to talk about. So anyway, sure. Your name came up, and it was he was pretty adamant right now in calling you guys out, and
he said he was going to kick my ass, and I said sure, all right, let's fight, and then it went away. And then we made fun of him again, and he said he called Rick Radzik, our boss, 11 times one day.
On his cell phone.
Yeah. On his cell phone, saying, Bailey, hey, Radzik, we got something to talk about. I'm going to kick his ass. Yeah, he's going to come kick my ass.
I happen to know how he got Rick's number. I gave it to him. He called me. He said, hey, you know Rick Radnick's number? I'm like, yeah, here's his number. I didn't know what he, I thought he was calling by getting the job in Boston.
Oh, no, that's never happening.
That was his story, and I was like, but then it was kind of funny in the fact that he said, you know, I just want those guys just to stop talking about me. I said, dude, the easiest way for people to stop talking about is to ignore them. I said, when you do that in Boston Talk Radio, and you get offended or upset, oh, that's like throwing gas on the fire, man. You can't do that. So
he started it. He said he was going to kick my ass.
Up on my buddy.
You got out of no. He said he was going to come up and find Fred and kick his ass. Like, this is where he started all of this.
And meanwhile, he's calling you and crying and everything else. And we didn't say anything about his wife. He played a clip and he said, I was out with my wife and a friend, and we just found it interesting that there was three people there. and that was it. I mean, I don't know anything about the guy's wife. What a pussy.
I told him to get over it. I said, they make fun of me all the time. If I say something about my friend John Wallach's wife, they're like, hey, John, guess what? Back to you and John here. Do you know what he's doing to your wife, don't you? I said, they say that all the time on air. I said, you can't take some of this stuff serious. You just got to let it go, man. This is talk radio. I said, where do we do talk radio in Charlotte? Is completely different than doing talk radio in a major market like Baltimore.
Something he has failed to grasp.
Yeah, one
you said that
one show has success, and the other one is just sitting there. All right. I cannot believe that prick called you. Well, listen, if you're friends with him, God bless you. I highly doubt you're friends with him, but I do
talk radio down there, and sure. We've sat down. We haven't really eaten, but we're in studio for a couple hours, so we sit down and talk. But yeah, you want to know how he got Rick's number? That's how he got Rick's number.
Problem solved.
He called him 11 times in one day.
Look, I didn't know that was the reason. People always call me about getting other people's number. They get my number all the time. But when he said, you know, Rick Rass, like, hey, yeah, here's his number. And I'm thinking, like, well, what's up? You know, maybe he's trying to get a job or.
No, I don't have a problem. Going on. I don't have any problem with you giving his number.
Now, Rick does.
Now, but Cedric, if someone from a radio station calls you on your cell phone, do you ask them how they got your number?
Absolutely not.
Oh, you don't?
No, there are people who call me all over the country with my number. And my number is around all over the place. So I don't even think about it when somebody calls me and says, hey, I'm with Studio 8 from, Ballsville. I'm like, I don't ask them, like, how you got my number. I just answer the question.
Ballsfield? Is that what you said?
Yeah. one of them places like that, you know, where you scratch your balls, you know.
Yeah, I understand. So how long in real time is 2 hours on the Kyle Bailey show? Does it seem, how many days does that seem like?
No, It was cool. We talk about different subjects, and it is a slower pace in the South.
There is more of a
finer line. WFNZ, that station down there, they had a policy where they didn't want you to curse on air. So I had a hard time. I had to being on from time to time.
Well, should I swear
was not a good thing there. You know, hell was close to like, oh man, that might be it for you right there.
I just like that he says we were talking about his wife, as if I know anything about his wife. Could he? You've seen both of us. Would he just kick the living crap out of me? Would he kill? Would he beat me senseless?
Yeah, he probably would.
Is he a big fella?
Kind of. He's not big like bulky, but he's in pretty good shape. And I looked at you. You're like me, an older guy. You don't want no crap coming at you. We got a delay button. I almost used the word, so let me stop.
Well, thank you for laying some insights, Cedric, into the insanity of Kyle Bailey. I appreciate it.
I do what I can, and if I get a call from Rick Rasmussen, I will understand why. But hey, it was my bad.
It's not your bad. You gave us content. I mean, Kyle Bailey gave us 2 hours of content, so it was great.
Exactly. And if you don't want it, it's as I say about these days, you cannot get so strung up by your balls and just say, start going crazy.
He said he was going to send me back to the loony bin. He said he was going to send me back to the loony bin is what he said.
No, he told me he was just going to break your jaw. That was it.
No, he said he was going to
break his damn jaw.
Yeah, he's not breaking anyone's jaw.
You got his voice down pat.
We're going to get in a ring, a boxing ring. I'll tell you right now, yeah. I'll get in there and I'll break that guy's damn jaw.
No, he said he was going to send me to the loony bin, and he's not breaking anyone's jaw. That's some pussy-ass talk. That's never going to happen.
Okay, this is what I love about talk radio. We can start using that word, and I love it when I got Michael Felger. One time I was listening to him, and he was talking about Bill Belichick. He said, the guy down in Foxborough, he's a dick. I was like, whoa. This is pretty intense stuff. So we can talk about that and the P word. Okay, I got it.
All right. Well, Cedric, thank you for the information. That was enlightening.
Well, I tell you this. I'm in Milwaukee right now, and if you can find the P word, send it my way, okay?
All right, Cedric. Thanks so much for the time. Enjoy yourself.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good one.
All right, there you go.
Milwaukee, otherwise known as Ballsy Ballsville.
Max hates
where
Milwaukee.
People scratch their balls.
Of all the places that they go on the road, Milwaukee is his least favorite. So he'll be trapped there.
Milwaukee, like when it's nice, is not a bad city.
Yeah, right now it doesn't suck. Right now, it's got to be okay.
I went there with friends for my 40th birthday. I actually had a great time. But the
Ballsy Ballsville.
That last piece of the puzzle just clicked right into place.
How about, like, he wanted to get in a boxing ring? Okay.
By the way, how much does Cedric Maxwell nail the Kyle Bailey voice?
He sat in there with him for 2 hours.
And what a nice way to say the show sucks, too. Like, it's right. Much slower down there.
It's much slower. It's like, you know, it's different, you know, where you are as opposed to, like, a major market.
Yeah. It's much different down there. You don't have to be entertaining or witty or tell jokes. It's a whole different thing.
Oh, my God. That is great.
Boy, is Kyle Bailey insane.
I mean, that's who
talking thought? About his wife. Get out of here with your wife. What do I know about your wife? We made fun of it saying that you were sitting with your wife and another dude. And I can't control what the listeners say. Like, what did you say attacking someone's wife is like saying her name and calling out like her looks or what she does for a living?
Well, how about the ultimate like punk move is to contact the program director instead of contacting you?
I don't know why he didn't if he was going to break my
The
jar.
Whole thing started with him like having your number.
I just wanted to know how they got my number.
Does Cedric have your number? Maybe he has who gave it to him.
Yeah, he has it. He calls all the time. He knows exactly who I am. He doesn't know who I am. All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
dare think that we think we're superstars.
No.
We get kicked in the reality nuts about once a week.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, well, all the pieces fit. I was never going to talk about it again, but here we are. When Kyle Billy from Ballsy Ballsville, where people scratch their balls.
Max, by the way, said that about his hometown. Max is the mayor of Charlotte.
Yeah, if you don't know, Max is from Richmond.
I had no idea. I'd forgotten.
So Max is from there, but
I hadn't forgotten. I just didn't know.
This whole thing about this whole thing with this dude in Charlotte is originated with him calling Max. I think that's so funny. You're talking about my wife. Oh, shut up. Dude, shut up, you thin-skinned prick. I hate that. My wife. Like, what do I know about your wife? I don't know anything about your wife. I don't know what she looks like or does, nor do I care. We made a cuckold joke. I mean, give me a break. Making fun of my wife. I don't know anything about her. Way to make a mountain out of a molehill, you non-talented prick. Instead of getting on your show and making it funny, you started calling and tattling to everyone.
And then you didn't call Fred. That's the other thing.
No, he didn't call me.
No, you went, you know, you did, you tattled to the boss.
And the worst thing is, we'll get in a boxing ring and I'm going to break his jaw. Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Sure.
Is it, we're going to set up a boxing match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to, and it's all going to go to charity. Like, so lame. But good for Max.
I love that he just came right out and was like, yeah, I was the one who gave it to him. I wonder if Rick is actually texting Cedric right now. Our boss good. Oh, so you're the guy.
I like that Cedric. Meeting Cedric at games, I find it very hard to believe that he just answers the phones cool, like, hey. Yeah.
I think he's just stopped caring. There's probably, for his entire life, there's been people randomly trying to get a hold of him about things. And do you even think he, like answers his phone anymore?
Probably not.
Yeah. He's probably just someone who, he's probably got, like, a little voicemail he lets everything go to, unless he recognizes the number. Doesn't care.
I was a little tired during the interview, and then all of a sudden I heard Kyle Bailey. I went, whoa! Now the pieces fit.
Yep.
So he called Cedric Maxwell to get my boss's number so he could tattle to my boss.
Mm-hmm.
All the while, going to kick my ass, and all the while, and I know we've been talking about it a lot, but come on, guys, this just came out. I mean, the Cedric aspect of it just came out.
Now, how much of what he said was on the air and off the air? Like, because when he was talking about how Kyle Bailey, we kept talking about it, was that during his interview that he brought it up?
No, it sounded to me like that was during the phone call.
It did, but once again, the lack of radio instincts from this guy to not talk about it on the air.
Could be.
Yeah, I know. It was really stupid.
I'm going to break that man's jaw.
But think about it. Think about if you're him. Like, you're just kind of like sliding around. Like, you don't have much of an audience. There's really no pressure on you. And then you dip your toe into like real radio and you get this huge backlash. And then all of a sudden, like, your comfortable, like, you know, mediocre life starts becoming, you know, because being in a major market, in a tough market like Boston, you're going to have to take a lot of crap in talking about my wife.
And Fred Toucher's a mouth-breathing jackass and a liar.
Yeah, he doesn't know me at all. I'd never even talked to Kyle Bailey.
Fred Toucher is a nut job.
I've still never talked to Kyle Bailey in my entire life. Never talked to him. But, I mean, he was going to send me back to the loony bin, maybe for my own good. What a guy.
Fred Toucher being an unhinged idiot.
Who's unhinged?
Unhinged.
Who's unhinged? You with your never-going-to-happen boxing match and calling my boss. I hate that. That's off limits. You're talking about my wife. That was talking about your wife. Everything we said was absurd. We don't know anything about your wife. Relax, jackass. Talk about my wife. Oh, please. I don't know what your wife looks like. I don't know if you have one. I don't know anything about it. It could be some girl from Niagara Falls that you made up in eighth grade. I don't know who the hell your wife is.
George Glass. Isn't that who it is?
I mean, this isn't Pete Davidson getting a tattoo of Kanye's kids on his neck exactly. You know, this is, you said you were out to dinner with your wife and another guy, and it just sounded funny. I mean, what do you think? Now your wife is going to... Like, oh, boy, I hate that. Now he's crossed the line. Wife's an adult. And I don't know her name, what she looks like, how long you've been married. I don't know anything about her, and you know I don't. All right. When's this kid coming in?
Yeah, have you heard anything from him?
I mean, this would be something if he didn't come in on time.
All right, well, let's not promote it till he's here, just
to
make sure.
I am not going to promote it till he's here, but I got four things sitting next to me I want to bring.
I'm looking forward to this guy being in. I am.
All right, here we go. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.